Last Friday, Australia became the latest country to approve the Pfizer COVID vaccine down to the age of 12. That's for both individual protection and the community at large through large-scale immunity. But to achieve herd immunity, 80 to 90% of the entire population needs to be vaccinated. And that means children younger than 12, right down to babies. They'll need to have the jabs. But before that happens, we'll need to be sure the vaccines are safe and effective in young kids. And currently, there are trials in progress. The Health Report's Sarah Seggi has been investigating.
So this is the medication. So BNT16262 vaccine, 3 micrograms and a 0.2 cc fluid.
This is called a vaccine.
Mommy had it and daddy had it.
3-year-old Andrew Good is one of the youngest recipients of the Pfizer vaccine.
That's it. No more poking, no more nothing.
His mum, Zenaida Good, is a research fellow at Stanford University's Cancer Institute.
I started looking for opportunities to protect my kids because even though kids often get mild COVID-19, they can still, in rare case, die. And in some cases, up to 10 to 15%, they can get long COVID. And I really didn't want my kids, especially, to get that.
Andrew's 10-month-old baby brother, Soren, has also had his jab.
Well, baby Soren took it really well. He didn't even cry. Little Andal is 3, so to him, of course, we had to explain about the virus. And he understood that there is a scary virus that everybody is worried about. So knowing that a vaccine will protect him and he'll be able to do things that he wanted to do, such as like riding a bus or going on an airplane, we explained to him that, yeah, if we are not afraid of the virus, we can do those things again.
The brothers were vaccinated as part of phase 1 clinical trials recently held at Stanford, one of many sites investigating the safety and efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine for children. The trials have since progressed, and depending on the results, the data will soon be passed to regulators in different countries so they can consider whether to approve the vaccine for use. Pfizer says it expects this to happen by September for children aged 2 to 11. For children aged 6 months to 2 years, it'll be later in the year. Professor of Pediatrics Yvonne Maldonado from the Stanford School of Medicine is the principal investigator for the trials being held there. While the research continues for younger children, she says the vaccine has proven to be safe and effective for kids 12 and over.
The Pfizer vaccines have been given to about 8.8 million children under the age of 18. They have been remarkably safe. The major issues that we have heard about is the very rare side effect of heart inflammation, and that's called myocarditis, that has occurred primarily in older male teenagers or young male adults, somewhere on the order of a dozen or two dozen cases per million doses given. So it is quite rare, and it does seem to resolve very quickly.
While most children who get COVID will have it mildly, she says for some it can be very serious.
There have been, in the United States, over 4 million children diagnosed with COVID-19, with over 16,000 hospitalizations and about 300 to 600 deaths in just half of the states that report hospitalizations in children. So we only get reports from about half of the United States.
Over in Baltimore, Dr. Korsar Talat from Johns Hopkins University is the principal investigator for another Pfizer pediatric trial.
The other thing that we're seeing with the Delta variant is that because it's so much more contagious and because so many adults are vaccinated, we're seeing children as a proportion of the total number of cases rising and more children hospitalized with COVID. We're also starting to see more long COVID symptoms in children. We know that obesity is a major risk factor for severe illness with COVID of all ages, and children who are obese are more likely to be hospitalized. There is absolutely an argument to be made for vaccinating those of a high risk at any age.
Last Friday, the Pfizer vaccine was approved for use in Australia for children down to the age of 12. Dr. Asher Bowen is a paediatric infectious diseases specialist at the Telethon Kids Institute and Perth Children's Hospital.
I think it's important that the vaccine has been approved for use in adolescents first. They're probably slightly more like adults in the way in which they experience COVID. And so whilst we have learned very much that younger people do not get nearly as sick, adolescents are just in that higher risk group than younger children.
As vaccines become available to more age groups, she agrees we'll need to determine who needs access first.
I think that the UK has done a really good job of trying to tease that out and have really identified that neurological disorders, disabilities, as well as multiple comorbidities are some of the things that are putting adolescents and children into a higher risk group. So as well as obesity and asthma have been identified, I think that there are some other groups that we need to pay attention to.
Dr. Bowen says when priority groups are vaccinated, and if supply isn't an issue, there may be benefits to vaccinating kids.
Would there be an indirect benefit to reduce transmission risk in the population? Might there be a reason that we want to vaccinate children and young people in order to help with their education and get our schools back functioning? So really trying to think about those indirect benefits and whether they are sufficient that children and young people should be vaccinated.
And Professor Maldonado from Stanford says it could help provide stability for children who've been missing out on school.
Taken together with the fact that we need more people vaccinated to achieve broad immunity in the population, it is an important concern. The ability to protect children long-term and help them go back to school is critical. We found in the last year and a half or so that keeping children out of school had a significant negative impact on mental health, a neurocognitive development, learning, of course, social skills. There were just a lot of issues.
But having a discussion about vaccinating children is almost a first world luxury at the moment. There are countries where health systems are overwhelmed and those most in need of vaccines can't get them. It's not only an equity issue, but means there are more opportunities for variants to arise. The WHO is asking people to think about diverting vaccines to these countries first. While Dr. Talat from Johns Hopkins thinks getting kids vaccinated is important, she says vaccine inequity can't be ignored.
I think that if this were a fair world, we should vaccinate people based on risk, regardless of where they are, regardless of their country's ability to pay for vaccines.
Dr. Kausar Talat from Johns Hopkins University, and that story was from Sarah Sedgie.